Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
God, it's so good. Whose desire is that? That you keep on burning. Come on now. Tell somebody we got to keep on burning for Him. Hallelujah. So thankful. Welcome, 3CLA. We want to thank those tuning in online as well as those here in the sanctuary. Hallelujah. Okay. That's the fire, right? The fire has landed. Hallelujah. So we've been talking about being in the greater works. Who wants to be in the greater works? So that is our desire. So that is what we have been striving for. And we have been in this discussion for a couple of Sundays. And so we've been talking about how Yeshua told us that He was leaving. He was going to go on the right hand of the Father, right? So that meant that if He's going, who's left? So your neighbor, you are. You're left. We are. We are the ones that He's expecting. So when we talk about greater works, what does that mean? He's expecting something from us. So tell yourself that He's expecting something from me. And so understanding that, we want to be ready to receive, to be vessels so that we can be used by Him. And so I want you to turn to technology. It's supposed to be easier, but I don't know if technology is getting complicated or I'm getting old. But if Apostle can work his, I can work mine. How old are you, Apostle? He'll be 81 in November. 81 years walking on this terra firma. So thankful. Let's turn to, this is supposed to be, I think I've got it working. John, the 14th chapter, Gospel of John. If you are a Hebrew scholar, it is Yohanan. And so this is what we were talking about. We were saying that we look at the 14th chapter, the 12th verse. It says what? Verily I say unto you, he that what? Believeth on me. He believeth. You must believe. Okay? You have to believe. If you do not believe, or you are not convinced, then everything else doesn't mean anything. Say, I must believe. Hallelujah. Don't just say it, believe it. You gotta, when you are a believer, you gotta believe what the word says. Everything that the word says, you what? Believe it. So it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And we said that that works had in the Greek had a name. Work means ergos, means that it's something that's set out for an accomplishment, right? It's a deed that carry out, is and then completes it as an intention, as a purpose. It must be completed. It must be accomplished. That is the work. So the work that he does, we're going to do. And then it says greater, and there's two kind of greaters. There's greater that means megas, means the ultimate,
And then there's maison. We are doing maison. So he says, the works that I do, greater. Maison works, what does that mean? Greater ergos. What does that mean? That means that we'll be doing work to a greater degree. So we're trying to find out, well, Yahweh, well, what does that mean? I mean, you healed the sick, you raised the dead, you created the universe, you did all these things. So where does that leave me? And so a lot of believers say, well, since I can't raise the sick and you know, heal the sick and raise the dead, I'm just going to sat down. Well, he's like, no, I'm expecting work from you, but what can we do? So that's what we're trying to find out. What is these greater works? What is these greater works? What are? I need y'all to correct. What are these what? Greater works. So I want to move forward in this, and we're going to go to, excited about this, Yohanan, the fifth chapter, because he has an expectation. What does he expect of me? And a lot of times we do our own thing, and we're like, well, I'm just going to do my own thing, and you thinking that's good enough. He's like, no, he has an expectation. He wants you to do what he's expecting you to do. We're finding out what that is. So the fifth chapter of John, Yohanan. And this is key. Then, 17th verse says what? Oh, 5:10. What word, 17? Then you... Okay, so let me set this up. So, Yeshua performed a miracle. And we talked about the miracle that he performed, right? There was a guy at the pool. He was impotent. And he had some handicap, something's going on with him. And Yeshua asked him, you want to be made whole? And what happened? The guy said, well, I want to, but every time I jump in the pool, because remember, the pool of Bethesda was, the angel would come and he would stir the waters, right? And then whoever jumped in first was what? Healed. Well, you got 50 people trying to get, it was a race. It was like the Olympics. They was trying to see who was going to what? Get to the pool what? First. So if he couldn't make it, he was out. And it said that 38 years, he had that infirmity. And so Yeshua came upon him and he was like, hey, do you want this? And he said, well, you know, I want it, but they keep on jumping in front of me. He said, take up thy bed. This is word. Yeshua, the living logos. Take this, get your bed, and get on out of here. And so what did the man do? He got up, realized that he could walk. He got his bed, and he was walking down the street. So the Pharisees, the religious people said, wait a minute, dude, why are you got your bed? Now, they knew that this guy had been sick for 38 years, not, hey, how did you get healed, but why are you working? Because why? It was a Sabbath. You wasn't supposed to work on the Sabbath. And Yeshua was like, wait a minute, I don't care that it's the Sabbath. There's ergos. There's work to be done, right? And so he says in the 17th verse, Yeshua answered them, I'm not concerned that y'all are hating on me because I'm performing miracles on the Sabbath. My Father worketh. So because my Father works, I work, right? And so Yeshua is saying the works that I do, we're gonna do. It's being passed down. Yahweh had a purpose for Yeshua, right? And so he performed that. And so now he's saying that, okay, I'm getting ready to go. So now it's your turn. Well, he was talking to the disciples. No. Yeah, he was talking to disciples, but guess who you are? Y'all are disciples. Hey, neighbor, you a disciple. We're disciples. So he's expecting work from us, right? And so when we look at this, we're going to go to Johannes 5:17, and I think this is 18. And if we look at 18, it says what? Therefore the Yehudians what? Thought to kill him. Because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that Yahweh was what? Was his father. And he was what? Making himself what? Equal with him. Well, listen. Guess what? He was. Yahweh was his father, all powerful. Right? And so, saints, when you start working in the greater work, there are going to be people that are going to hate on you. Because you out there working. I mean, you could be doing good, you know? It's not about you. It's about the work that is being done for the kingdom's sake. And guess what? People are going to hate on you. And it's not going to be unsaved folk. It's going to be some unregenerated believers that's supposed to be saved. Supposed to be walking. But they're not walking in the greater work because they're too busy doing what they want to do. And you're walking in the greater work. So therefore, I guess you walking in the greater works is making them look bad. Well, I tell them, I don't care if you look bad. I'm doing the work of my Father. I'm doing the work of the Father. He's commanded me. He's commanded us. So he's expecting me to work. He's expecting you to work. And see, that's when people locate themselves. See, when church people start hating on you, that means that they're saying that I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Especially when they're so busy looking at what other folks are doing, they can't even pay attention to what they're supposed to be doing. You know any believers like that? Don't raise your hand. So we're striving to be that, okay? So when we go here, I'm using another form of trying to get to these scriptures because it's not working the way it's supposed to be working. But the devil is a lie, and this word is going to go forth in the mighty name of Yeshua. Okay, so let's go to Mark, the 16th chapter. Gospel of Mark, the 16th chapter. Okay, so Yeshua is giving us a charge. Say a charge. A charge is an order, a direct command to all believers. He's saying that you must do this. So he said unto him, go out into all the world and preach the gospel to what? Every creature. The beauty about this is that when people get to preach, they say, well, that's not me because I'm not a preacher. Well, let's find out what the word preacher means. Chariso, Hebrew. Greek, Hebrew. Chariso means what? To herald. As a what? Public crier of divine truth. That means what herald means is that you're bringing that good news of the gospel. Right? It doesn't mean that you're like, because that's what you think preaching is. You know, preaching has got such a bad name because of all that that we say we teachers. That's what we are. Teachers, you get the word without the right? All that and that we call it hacking. That's what they call it. You don't need all the hum-ha. Because in all the hum-ha that you're adding to it, okay, somebody doesn't know what I'm saying. So typical quote unquote preaching is like, and God said, ah, go ye out. I'm like, do you need an inhaler? I mean, you know, what is the purpose of that? And then it turned into who could hack the loudest? Who could bring the longest? So it stops becoming about the word, but it starts becoming about showmanship, performance. Who gonna show out? Who has the best show? The greatest church show on earth. So it turns into a three-ring circus. And we, instead of going to church, we're going to Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey. To see all the clowns, Ricky says. It sounds harsh. I'm not trying to put nobody down, but I'm trying to lift the word up. And if you get put down because the word is being lifted up, so be it. That's my desire. I want to lift up the word. I want to lift up the truth. And if you're not lifting up the truth, you're not lifting up the word, then that's your problem. So when we talk about preach, you got to test it. Evidently, Yahweh had brought you, you was in something for Yahweh to come by your way and bring you out of it. So evidently you was in a worse state than you were, right? Before he came along, you was scraping rock bottom. And then when he came, he did something. He pulled you out of something. He changed something in your life. And so some people say, well, that's my business. I want to keep my business. No, if Yahweh has saved you, if Yahweh has delivered you, if Yahweh has changed you, it's no longer your business. It's his business. And it's your job to herald. Herald as a public crier, meaning you're not keeping it silent. You're not keeping it private. What is the meaning of herald? It's public. What does public mean? You're letting everybody know. That's your job. You need to let them know about the divine truth. Number two, it means to proclaim with authority, right? You're saying, hey, let me tell you what my God did. I'm telling you, I was in this situation and he came in and he turned it all around. You connected with it. You're excited about it. And that's what Apostle was saying where we were talking about how you got to go back to your first love. When you had your first love, you was excited about your first love. You was on the telephone till 3 a.m., 4 a.m. In my case, I was sleeping with the telephone. I wake up in the morning and realize that I had fallen asleep on the telephone. And I was dating my wife. Now we in the same house. We ain't got to be on the telephone. But that's what? First love. Remember how you was with Yeshua? You would tell folks about him. You would brag on him. Not bragging on yourself. You bragging on your God. Look, let me tell you what he did. Now we can't get you to say nothing about him. As if he never did anything. When you connect with what he's done, you say it with authority. You say it with passion. Say passion. Passion. Yeah, when you believe something, you say it with passion. And you guys get excited about some crazy stuff. Sisters. Oh, girl, I found some shoes. Oh, these shoes are bad. And I got them for half off. You excited about the shoes. Brothers. Oh, man, I got these Jordans. Man, I stood in line for 6 hours for those LeBrons. Somebody did. And you were telling the person because you was what? Excited about it. Well, what did Yahweh do for you? Can you muster up the same excitement that you did for them shoes? Come on now, shoes! Them shoes are probably only worth about $20. And you paid $300, $400 for him. And then this is the kicker. Speak openly on what has been done. But your testimony has to be open. Where's my, I just don't like telling my business. It's not your business. It's his business because it's what he did. He did it. Did you do it or did he do it? Tell your neighbor, he did it. So therefore, it's public. It's a public proclamation. And so that's what, so he's telling us to go ye out and what? So let's not say preach, let's say share. See, that was my problem. I was running from, I was like, I ain't no preacher. I ain't gonna do that. I told the boss, I'll never, ever do what you do. He said, okay. Said, all right. So he said, I was working with kids. So he said, well, you know, why don't you work with the youth? I said, okay, well, I've been working with the youth. Well, you know, he said, let's make it official, you know. Because I was working with the youth unofficially. I worked with youth years before, but then, you know, 9 years ago, he said, oh, yeah, let's just make it, you're working with youth officially. I said, all right. You know, so what does official mean? Well, you know, we just have to give you a title to let people know that it's official. I said, well, what title? Youth leader? I don't need the title. He said, well, he said, I believe God wants you to be a youth pastor. I said, oh, no. Nah. He said, I said, I ain't no preacher. He said, son, I didn't tell you that you had to preach. I just said that, you know, you're shepherding over the youth. You're just watching them, and that's pastoring. I said, well, if you put it that way. I said, well, but when I get up and you know, get in and speak to them, I'm just sharing. He said, that. Well, he said, go ahead on, man, and share. So I was sharing to the kids. So, you know, weeks gone by, you know, I was working in that capacity. And he said, that's how he, you know, he'll, Apostle, when he's coming to tell you something, he kind of looks up into the sky. Well, son, you know, you guys have what's called a takeover Sunday, but, you know, you may sing, but you're not really taking over anything. I said, well, what is it? What's left to take over? Well, you know, the message? I said, I ain't no preacher. He said, I didn't ask you to preach. Just share with the people. You're sharing with the kids. Just share with the people. So is there something that you want to share? And there was something that the Holy Spirit had given me about love. But it was for the kids. Because they was acting monstrous, and so we need to talk about love. But I guess the adults was acting monstrous too. So he said, just a Sunday morning, you know, you don't have to preach, son, just share. So I said, all right, the Holy Spirit had given it to me maybe 2 weeks before, and I was, you know, placing it out how I was going to present it to the kids. And so then here he come, apostle, you know, going to put it on the Sunday. So I said, well, okay, let me. And when I started sharing, something got a hold of me. And I say, the Holy Ghost got a hold of me. And I started reading that scripture, and the next thing I knew, the service was over, everybody was up hugging, and I was like, what happened? I mean, it was almost as if it was an out-of-body experience. And I've been sharing ever since. You know, it's how he gives it to you. It's not about your ability. Well, I can't preach. I can't get up in front of people. It's not about your ability. It's about your availability. So I was able to share from a perspective of what Yahweh had done for me. And so therefore, I'm in this category. I don't call it preaching. I'm still what? Sharing and teaching. So you call it what you want, share. Call it just having a conversation. But you're called to do that. You're called to proclaim the gospel to every creature. And the beauty about the creature is that in the Hebrew tradition and speaking, a creature was somebody who had come out of idolatry into the word, who had been transformed. So your job is to not only tell people that are not transformed, but also share your testimony with people that are what?
Transformed,
right? And so that's what he's expecting us to do. And so when we look at that, that kind of gives us an idea of how we're supposed to go about this. So go here to the 16th, and it says, he that believeth, again, here we go, believeth, he that believeth. So believing is a key point in this whole process. You got to believe what has happened to you. You got to believe that the word is true. You got to believe that he did what he said he was going to do, right? He's going to do what he's getting ready to do, right? And so you got to believe that. He that believeth and is baptized. It's not enough that you believe it, but you got to what? Act on it, right? And if you believe, you're going to get baptized with the water and you're going to get baptized with the Holy Spirit. And you shall be saved. But he that believeth not, what? And so the next verse says what? And these signs shall follow them. And the correct translation is, these signs shall accompany them that believe. So if you believe, there's going to be some, somebody say evidence. There's going to be some evidence that's going to happen. And so what is that? In what? Not, I don't say in the name of Tom Washington. It's not about my abilities. I'm just a vessel. I'm just an ambassador. I've been given authority by Yeshua, and that authority was me, him saying, hey, I baptized you, I filled you with my Holy Spirit, now go and use my name. If you believe, you can use my name in all kinds of what? Situations. I need you to transact business. I'm leaving and you're staying, and I need you to transact business just as if I was here. People need to be saved. People need to be delivered. But you got to do it in my name. Now, we said this before. You got to know what his name is. And then you have to believe and have faith in his name. And if that is the criteria, then what? In my name, you're going to be able to do some stuff. Not in your ability, but in my name, in my authority, in my power, he's saying. You're going to be able to cast out devils. They shall speak with what? New tongue. 18 says what? They will take up what? Serpents. And if they drink what? So I need to explain the serpents. Okay, so let's go somewhere to explain that. You have some people that misinterpreted the scriptures. So you got folk out there playing with snakes. He didn't say, you're going to play with snakes. He said, you're going to take up serpents, and I'm going to explain to you what that means. But let's do the rest of this. It shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. Hallelujah. And they shall recover. You don't have to wait for, well, you at work, and it's lunchtime, and one of your coworkers is like, you know, I'm sick. I'm not feeling well. Hey, would you want me to pray for you? And they say, yes. Well, I pray in the name of Yeshua. Is that okay with you? Yes. Okay, well, I need to call my pastor, see if he's available to drive down here. No. You. So that means you could be at work and you can lay hands on the sick and you can say, in the name of Yeshua, we're calling on healing right now. And guess what? They shall recover. Anybody believe in that kind of power? He provided that kind of power because he's expecting you to what? Operate in that power. Tell your neighbor, use your power. 19 says what? So then after Yeshua had spoken unto them, he was received up in heaven and he sat on the right hand of the Father. You know the beauty in that was? He was like, I did what I was supposed to do. I was given a work and a task and I completed my work and the task, and now I can ascend and take my seat on the right hand of the Father. Do you think he deserved to go ahead and sat down? On the right hand of the Father, which is the side of power. And he said, hey, and while I'm sitting on the right hand side of the power, guess what? I'm giving you my name and you can use my name just like I was here. And the same stuff I was doing, guess what? You can do the same thing. And 20 says what? And they went forth and he told them to go. So they what? Went forth what? Everywhere. Yahweh was working with them, confirming the word with signs, following or in the company. Aman and what? Aman. So there was work going forth. So he's expecting us to what? So let's go here. Let's go, I believe that it is the Gospel of Luke. And we're going to go to Luke, the 9th chapter. Give me just a few minutes because we had communion, so things last a little longer, but just give me about 10 minutes here and I think I can set us up for next week. Is that okay with you? All right. So we go to, so they went out proclaiming the gospel, but we're going back a little bit before Yeshua left because see, he was still demonstrating the work. And so here, 51, it says Luke 9:51. You got it, say I got it. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, right? He was delivering the gospel to those who needed it. And so 52 says what? And he sent messengers before his face, and they went. So he sent some folk. It was more than just the 12. He sent some folks ahead of him to prepare the way and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. 53 says what? And they did not receive him because his face is though he would go to Jerusalem, because the Jews or the Yehudims kind of looked down on the Samaritans because they considered the Samaritans to be half-breed. And so when they came in contact with them, there was friction. And they went into a town of the Samaritans, and the Samaritans saw that they was Jews and was like, we ain't trying to hear you. Rejection. Sometimes you go somewhere and folks, they ain't trying to hear you. Hello. Yeah, I'm from 3CLA. I just wanted to share the word with you. No, I don't want any. We go to another church. We go to Phi Beta Kappa Missionary. Whatever, whatever. 54th verse. And his disciples, Yaakov and Johannes, this, they were rejected. The Samaritans didn't receive him. And they saw this and they said, Lord, since they rejected us, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Even as Elias did. So wait a minute. You tried to share the gospel and they rejected you. So now you want to call down fire and kill them. Sometimes you feel that, don't you? They slam the door in your face. They say, I said, get off my porch. And sometimes something rises up in you. Well, I didn't want to come into your house anyway. Apostle said, that's all right. You the same person. And they done shut you down. That's all right. You going to hell anyway. That's why we bring it down. But I'm going to call down fire on you. Check this out. It's his gospel. Right? Don't take it personally. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting him. And he's giving them a chance through you. And as long as you've been obedient and delivered that message as he told you to deliver it, you're all right. You ain't got to call down no hellfire. When you want to call down hellfire, that's your flesh. Because what you did was you planted a seed. And even though they told you to get off the porch, something is working on them. And if you had gone up and said, well, you're going to hell anyway, then it totally disrupts the whole thing. The seed has been burnt up because you got in your flesh. When he instructs you to share the word, share the word. And so he's like, call down fire. And 55 says what? But Yeshua's turned and he rebuked them. And he says, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. He was like, I'm trying to get you to deliver my message, but you're delivering the message from the devil. I'm trying to teach you how to deliver my word and now you acting like the devil. You don't know what kind of spirit you what? Operating in. And he says, what kind of spirit you are of? Are you going to take my message or are you taking the devil's message? He says, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Come on now. Didn't come to call down hellfire and burn them up. He came that they were what? Be saved. See, those disciples, man, they was going left a lot. I mean, I say, boy, if I was walking with Yeshua and saw the stuff, I would just be like, okay, master, what? What next? What do you want me to do? But some of these dudes was tripping. Right? And so if we go to the fifth chapter, go to the fifth chapter. Stay in chapter 9, but go to the fifth chapter. Fifth verse, I'm sorry. And it says, if you just go up from 51 or wherever you were to 5. He gave them instructions. He had already given them instructions. He had already given them instructions. Here they are tripping, but he had already given them this instructions. He had already told them how they were supposed to operate. And what did he tell them before they made that stupid statement? He said, and whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake the dust off your feet for a testimony against them. See, the concept of shaking the dust off your feet. If you were to go in areas outside of Jerusalem, it was considered a Gentile ground. right? And so the thing was, when you had gone out and accumulated dust from going out and telling people, when you came back, you were supposed to get that. And if people received you into the house, guess what they would do? If people received the gospel, they would wash your feet. But if they rejected it and sent you on, you kicking rocks to the next location. You picking up dust. So it was like, listen, you're going to go some places where your feet's not going to be washed. You're not going to be received. But you're going to have dust on your feet. And dust signifies this. You went where I told you to go. If you didn't go where I told you to go, you wouldn't have no what? Dust on your feet. Your job is to get some dust on your feet. And some of y'all don't want to get your feet dirty. Nah, I pay too much for these shoes. I don't want to go over there. I don't want to do that. He said, go. The evidence of you going is the dust. And when you go somewhere that they don't receive you, and go on to what? The next dusty places. Because guess where he's called you to go? To dusty places. Anybody been to some dusty places? If you ain't been to no dusty place, then you ain't been nowhere. And your job is to go somewhere where there's some dust. And then he was talking about, I'm going to leave you with this. He was talking about this. Serpents and scorpions. Well, when they went to those places, they didn't have no roads. They were going in terrain, grassy areas, right? Rocky places, hills, mountains. There were no sidewalks. It was dusty roads. Well, guess what was in those grasses and bushes? Can you imagine? Anybody been on a hike? So when you've been on a hike, it's what? Dusty, rocky. Well, when you go on a hike, picture the disciples going to spread the gospel. And they were going up mountainsides and all that stuff. And if you've been there, guess what? Guess what is in the grass? Snakes. Scorpions. Right? Those were the things. And people didn't want to go because they didn't want to encounter those things. Because if you're in the grasses and if you're trying to do some stuff, you're trying to walk and go places and you're walking in the grasses, you could come in contact with what? A snake. You could come in contact with a scorpion. And they were afraid that if they came in contact with those poisonous things, that they would sting them or bite them and they would die. And so he says, listen, go out. I want you to go out. And if you're scared of the obstacles that you're going to come in contact with, which the obstacles of the time were serpents and scorpions. So if you come upon them while you're going to do my business, then guess what? You don't have to worry about being hurt by them because I'm going to protect you. So if you encounter them, it's not like you go looking for them. Hey, we're going to go snake hunting. We're going to go scorpion hunting. No, you're doing my work. So since you're obedient and doing my work, guess what? You're going to come in contact or take up serpents and scorpions, and they're not going to be able to hurt you because you're in my anointing. You're in my power. You're in my authority. So it didn't mean that they would go around playing with scorpions and see, hey, guess what? I'm going to play with this thing, and guess what? Watch it not hurt me. No, he said, if you come in contact with me. Well, guess what? Today is not about serpents.
Come on now. Come on.
Today you're going to encounter maybe some rough neighborhoods. Maybe you're going to encounter some gang members or some thieves. or some robbers, and you're out there doing the work of Yahweh, and he's saying, don't worry about those obstacles. If you're doing my work, I'm going to cover you. I'm going to protect you, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So he's saying in 2006, in 2,000 years ago, the stuff that you encountered was serpents and scorpions. Oh, but today some people act like serpents and scorpions. But guess what? They ain't gonna be able to hurt you because you got the gospel of Yeshua. You got some dust on your feet. You're carrying his word. You're operating in his anointing. You're operating in his power and his authority. So stop being scared. Don't be afraid of going into some neighborhood that somebody tells you you're going to get shot in. If you're in the anointing of Yahweh, he's going to cover you. He's going to protect you. Somebody say, no weapon formed against us shall. Somebody give him praise. Go out. Go out. Go out. Father Yahweh, thank you for what you've calling us to do. You're calling us to continue to take your word in the highways and in the byways, in places. You called us to get dusty. And we thank you for that, Father Yahweh, because we're not afraid of that. Hallelujah. We love you. We know that you got us. So right now, Father Yahweh, give us a renewed spirit of boldness, and we can go out and do your will, do your way. Time is running short, and our desire is that souls are saved. So right now, in the mighty name of Yeshua, have your way in us. Minister to how we can be better for you, be more effective for you, be bolder, be operating in all of your power and your authority, knowledge. Use us. Simply use us. We want to be used. We want to go. We want to work. Thank you. In Yeshua's mighty name. Come on. Please bow your heads.